Lord God, we thank you so much of your love for us. We thank you of your message, your Holy Spirit in each one of us. And you're the one that working in us, Lord God. You're the one that speak to each one of us as you continue to teach us, train us, challenge us even. And also you're the one that set us free. And you're the one that give us the truth, Lord God. It is your truth that set us free. And we praise you, we glorify your name, that you're a good, good God. That blessing come from you. That when we cry out to you in our times of need, you do answer our prayers. Thank you for the testimony of the youth as well this morning. And we praise you, we glorify your name. Use me, Lord God, as your instrument. And also pray for blessing for the children upstairs, Lord God, with Geraldine leading the kids. We thank you for the blessing of children and teenagers. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Fox magazine, free, in the bag. New ones, so help yourself, please. So I just want to follow on from almost like a series of we're talking about inheritance. And last time when I shared it, it was talking about the inheritance, how the Israelites left Egypt. God took them out of Egypt. And then they're going through the wilderness and they're going on to their promised land. And that was their inheritance that God has given them. And in fact, even the fact that they were this whole journey, even back in the time in Genesis, God already spoke to that, to Abraham about that, that they're going to go into a foreign land. They're going to be in captivity for 400 years. And in that time, they're going to grow and multiply, and God is going to bring them out of that land and take them to the promised land, to the land that he's promised to Abraham. So now, as God has took them out of Egypt already, and they're in the wilderness, and God actually told Moses to pick out 12 people from among the group and take them to go and spy out the land that God has promised them already. That is their inheritance. That is the land that is promised. So it's theirs. They just have to go and take it. So Moses picked out the 12 men, and they all went out to spy out the land. The journey doesn't actually take that long. It's like a roughly about 11 days journey to go to the promised land. And they came back. They were there for 40 days. They came back. And then you have voices, and what they was telling the rest of the people. You have 10 voices versus 2 voices that did not agree with each other. So my sermon today is really of whose voice do we listen to? When in the book of Numbers, it actually said how many people were in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. And there was a very specific number. For the people who are able to fight, to go to war, all the men who are over 20 years old, there's 603,550 men who are able to go to war, able to defend themselves. That's the number that they have. So when they estimated how many is in the whole group, they were thinking about maybe up to 2 million to 2.5 million people. That's a big number of people in the wilderness. Now, when these 12 spies went out to seek out the land, 10 of them came back and gave really bad accounts, and they said, yes, the land is great, but we won't be able to do it. And they have all of this reason why they can't do it. And they have all this reason of, it'll be better if they have died in Egypt. It'll be better if they probably, you know, better off just die in the wilderness. And they were saying, like, the people are strong, they're big, they're like giants. And the cities are fortified and very large. And they even said that children would become victims. And they'd rather die in Egypt. And they also said that they would just die in wilderness. It would be better than just going to take this land. It's absolutely impossible. But Joshua and Caleb, they focus so much on the land always filled with milk and honey. It's a great land. The grapes are so big. So we have a picture. So that's the 12 spies. You have two of them have the count. And then you have 10 of them. They did not agree with each other. So now when they're talking about the grapes, like we have normal grapes. If you go to supermarkets, nice grapes, we'd be quite happy with a bunch of those grapes. But when they came back, they said the grapes, it was so big, they need to actually have people carry it with a pole between two people. I didn't even know that grapes that size, bunch of grapes. And this is, I found that on the internet. I have a feeling it's not Photoshop. I didn't even know it existed. But it's in the Bible. And when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, wow. That is a bunch of grapes that need two people to carry. And they gave all the good reports of why, how good the place is, how amazing the place is. And this is what they say. Let us go up at once and take possessions, for we are well able to overcome it. And then in Numbers chapter 14, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. The protection is removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Two people, this is what they believe. They said they are nothing. God is with us. The protection is gone. So what they see is being giant fortified city. They didn't see all of that at all. They just saw how great and amazing the God is. And they can see, they say that we are able to do it. Let's do it. But the voices of the 10 people end up changing the thinking of the rest of the people. In fact, all of them believe the 10 spies. All of them decided they're going to just stone Joshua and Caleb. And all of them decided they will be better off choosing a new leader to take them back to Egypt. So our belief systems, if we believe in God, how great God is, or if we don't believe how great God is, we affect the voices we hear. Now, the people, the congregation, the majority, all of those people, they heard the reports of the 12 spies. They have two reports. And they believe the one that, of the 10. And that really make me think of when we look at the news or when we actually see it in the things in our lives. We have two choices. We could hear the people around us, what they say, whether it's in school or work or in our community or in the newspaper or the news, or we could actually check it out in the Bible and pray and say, "What, Lord, what do you say about this situation? What do I believe? Do I really believe that it is this bad? I mean, in reality, that is that bad, but when we actually really know God, as our God, there is two voices. The voices we will choose to hear and believe will be the one that give us life. And the Israelite complained so much. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And that's when God showed up, his glory. It showed up in the tabernacle and it stopped the people. When we believe in God, and we say, we are choosing to believe in God, God will show up for us. One of the things that God said was, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And Numbers chapter 32 also say, Joshua and Caleb, they have wholly followed the Lord. So their mindset, completely holy, really completely focusing who God is for them. Affect the voices we hear. Affect the decision we make. Affect what we believe. And when God said he has a different spirit, it wasn't talking about Holy Spirit. It's more of a mindset and an attitude that they have. But when we actually, each one of us, we have the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a promise that we have from God, that we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteed our inheritance until the redemptions of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. When we give our life to Jesus, when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believe in him, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now as our spirit, our attitude, that believing in God, just like Caleb had in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit work in us, we have that guarantee. It is not just about us trying to get the promised land. It's not just about Caleb trying to get to the, or Joshua get to the promised land in their own strength. But it is their own spirit believing in God, wholly following him. And they said that we can take this. And this is what God said, because of that, I'm going to bless them. So out of all the voices of all those people who chose not to believe, and God was saying, I took you out of Egypt. I have repeatedly shown you so much of my miracles that I'm with you, but yet you still don't believe me. Whatever you believe, I'm going to give it to you. They believed they will die in the wilderness. And that's what happened. God said, you will not have the promised land. And that's very sad. I know that for us nowadays, when we actually, there are times when we didn't believe. I thank God for Jesus, for the cross. There's forgiveness. I could repent. I can come back to God. Lord, I'm so sorry I didn't believe in you in that. But you show up. Nevertheless, you show up. And you met me where I was, in a place of unbelief. You still show up. And I thank God for the cross. I thank you for Jesus. But I don't want to keep repeating the same pattern of not believing in him. I want to move on from the lesson I've learned. Lord, you showed up for me last time. This time, can I believe you? I don't want to live all my life, keep on doing the same thing, not believing, and then God just show up. Not believing and God show up. I'd rather, Lord, change me. I want to have that same attitude, mindset, the spirit, that what God said about Caleb and Joshua. I can do greater things when I change my mindset. And Caleb and Joshua, the two people that actually got to go into the promised land, as well as all the people who were under 20 years old. And I just felt that it doesn't matter how many people, whether it's 2 million or 2.5, the estimated number of people. You could have the 2 million of people who possessed upon promised land who do not believe in God, who do not worship God wholeheartedly, and taking the promised land, versus the second generations of people after the 40 years of wandering in the land, taking the promised land and believing God, wholeheartedly follow God. In fact, in the end of Numbers, about Joshua's last day, it actually say all the people follow God wholeheartedly during Joshua's lifetime. And the people who serve Joshua, their people, their lifetime, the people follow God wholeheartedly. So when we have that mindset of, I'm going to follow God wholeheartedly, I want to have that spirit that God was talking about when he was talking about Caleb. Not only does it affect me, it affects my family. And Joshua actually said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today you have a choice to make. Who do you want to serve? Who do you want to serve? Who do you want to believe? Which report do you want to believe? And I want to say, Lord, I want to believe your report. No matter what I'm hearing from the news, no matter what I'm hearing, even from the doctor's news. When Jonathan was born, he needed surgeries. So he had surgery when he was 10 months old. And after the surgery, it was major surgery. After the surgery, the surgeon told me, where is that his immune system has been knocked down so bad. It's normal for them to be growing up years. They'll be so sick, in and out of hospital, sick all the time. He might grow out of it by the time they're late teens. I remember within that moment as he was saying that, I don't know if it is me or the Holy Spirit, I would say probably the Holy Spirit, something within me, within myself, I didn't say it out loud, but within myself, I just said, no, he won't. I didn't say that to the doctor, but I just say within us, myself, I said, no, he's not going to. So as a little kid, they do get sick. Each time I just say, no, he's not going to be what the doctor said, the surgeon said. And he didn't really take much of the antibiotic that doctors keep dishing out. And he did have to have a lot of doctor's appointment, hospital appointments. In fact, it used to be every 3 months, 6 months. But you know what? Each one of them was a checkup to see how he's doing. Each one of those doctors, hospital appointment, the doctor was saying, he's doing great. He's fine. So from every 3 months, after that was every 6 months, and then after that was once a year, every report, the doctor said he's fine. He's doing great. And then after that, it was every 3 years. He's still doing great. And then after that, they just discharge him. And they said, it's totally fine. So we have the voice of a professional, a doctor, saying this is normal. And I have God on my side. And I say, that's not going to happen. So when we're hearing reports, we have a choice. And we also have a choice of our words, of what do we believe? Or when we see something, am I going to believe what my eyes can see? Or am I going to just say, Lord, you have a better way for us. You are life, you're hope, you're my hope. And last week when we were in, Steve and I were in the LL weekend, and it was about freedom, moving on from depressions. And it was the same, a lot of people sharing their testimony. A lot of broken testimony of the lives of people that in a natural way, without God, you were thinking of how can they even survive? How can they even live? One of the ladies was sharing she was sexually abused whenever she was young. And then she was even witnessed her own brother and sister tragically killed when she was a teenager. And then she had a car crash that she ended up having 5 years with 20 operations. And she said by the time she actually, in her late 20s, after the surgeries, she was better. She kept pushing herself. She kept pushing herself and she just kept on working harder and making that to fill the void of inside. Until her body just couldn't cope with all of those things that has happened to her in her life. And she crashed. Without God. I know that Lynn shared with a lot of people working in the hospital with mental health. Without God, we will see a lot of people with things happen in their lives, they couldn't overcome them. But to hear this lady share her testimony of how God touched her lives, despite what the world say, despite what doctors might say, she she's healed. She even came off with all the medications and everything, antidepressants, and working with God to come off it slowly with her own doctors. But with things that when we're saying like it's impossible, there are things we just have to say, Lord, what is your voice about this situation? Instead of my voice, or instead of the enemy's voice, instead of the worldviews, instead of the families, their voice. So in the LL, they did say, when we were listening to teaching, and it is very much similar when I had depression, what God told me to do. So there's definitely forgiving the people, repenting, especially even if somebody actually spoke words almost like a curse. Like with the doctors, what they said almost sounds like a curse. For him, I can understand it, this is normal. But in God, it's not. So I forgive the doctor said that those words, and I gave those words to God, and I release it, and I keep declaring who God is for Jonathan. So for Ella, they said, forgive, repent, for agreement with those voices. But also one other thing is praise and worship. Praise and worship really release who God is in our life. We were worshiping in the praise song. God is good. He's a good, good God. Do I really believe it? There are a lot of words that really is declaring who God is for us in our lives. And then also holding on to the truth, the word of God. And I love how Larry said, I want to read the word of God. I want to read this Bible. Holy Spirit, help me. God, help me to read this. And there's power in the word of God. The word of God is alive and active. They're not just words on pages. It's not like reading a dictionary. Reading a Bible is like those are words that are alive for us, for our situation, for our very difficulties, for our cry to God of whatever situation that we need God to be for us. And choosing which voice to hear is very important. There's this, there are situations in our time we just actually have to put our hands in our ears and say, I'm not listening to those voices. The voices that is against God's truth. The voices that say the opposite of who God is. The voices that actually give us all the bad report. The voices that actually completely wipe out who God is in us, for us in that situation. There's, we almost like need a spiritual noise cancelling headphone. I know that somebody has them. Apparently they work really well. So spiritually, we need those noise-canceling headphones. Not just keep emptiness inside, but actually just holding on to God's truth and shut out the voices of those lies. Shut out the voices that is not from God. Shut out the voices that actually dilute God's truth and actually confuses us what is God's promises for our own lives. I know for the Israelites, it was about the promised land. But for each one of us, we might have situations, we might have things in our lives that we believe in God for. I know all of us, we have something that we're still praying. We say, Lord, I need you. I'm praying, I'm still believing. And there are times when it's hard to believe. And there are times when we say, like, what I'm seeing is so totally opposite of what I'm believing. But, I'm counseling out, I'm shutting the noise of the enemy, of the world, of what other people say, but I'm choosing to only focus on what you say. And tune into God. And as God said about Caleb and Joshua, they follow God wholeheartedly. And I want to be able to say, I follow God wholeheartedly. I might fail, but each day His mercy is new. Each day His love is renewed. Each day I can come back to God and say, Lord, I thank You. I'm choosing to believe You instead of what the world say. I'm choosing this path. So, I know for the teenagers, you might think that it's great to have your headphone on and not listen to anybody. But just in case, I have these photos too. There are times you do have to listen, godly counseled. And your parents who loves you, your youth leaders or people around you. So it's not like we just completely shut out every voices, everybody who say negative things about us. But sometimes we do need somebody to actually challenge us and say, you know what? What you're believing is actually not quite according to the word of God. So we all need people around us. We all need each other. And it's lovely to see the teenagers growing and maturing. And they speak truth into each other's life. They're there for each other. They understand each other's struggles and issues. And they can speak into each other's life. And they challenge each other too. And it's beautiful to see them growing, maturing. And for each one of us spiritually too. As we grow together, as we learn together. And God is good. He's given us a community. And just as God has given Josh and Caleb a community. Instead of the wilderness of death, it was a wilderness experience of training for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua became the next leader. It was 40 years of learning to trust God. It was 40 years of a group of people, millions of people, who choose to do their own things, rebellious. They left the wilderness as a group of people who wholeheartedly follow God. That's a big change of the two groups. And we are that group wholeheartedly following God. And God is with us. And He didn't call us to do this on our own strength. And God is with us. He empower us and equip us and encourage us. And I love that picture. Just corporately. Moving forward for Christ, being on fire for Him and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't mean just my house as in just my family, but actually this house, this is our house. This is our church families. We're moving forward for Jesus. And to hear the youth talking about 2,000 teenagers worshiping God, going to the camp and many lives are touched. That's more than the two people of Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament. We have an army of teenagers moving forward. And I know that not everybody went. But even those ones who wasn't able to go, they are still there. Because I know John was one of the teenagers who wanted to go, but he broke his arm and he couldn't go. So it wasn't just 2,000. I believe there are many, many more of teenagers who are on fire for God. And it just really say, Lord, continue to pour into us, continue to pour into our youth, continue to pour into us, each one of us, continue this walk with You. God has raised us up into an army of God. When we first moved to Ireland, there weren't many churches. Now we are seeing churches, a lot more churches, and we're growing. Let us continually, wholeheartedly pursue God and do what God called us to do. And if you struggle with some of those voices, we will pray for you, or just talk to God about it. What voice are we hearing? That is not from Him. That is actually stealing our inheritance. I remember when the boys were young, people used to tell me, oh yeah, when I get a tooth, there'll be the terrible twos. And then when I get to teenage years, there'll be rebellious years. And I remember saying, I reject those words in Jesus' name. I'm not partnering with those words. And then when people start saying, oh yeah, pastor kids, they're the worst. And I say, no, I'm not receiving those words. I'm parenting my kids the way that God called me to parent them. Whether they are teenagers or not, whether they are pastor kids or not, they are God's children. And I know a lot of pastor kids, they're lovely kids, and they love the Lord. And I will learn from those people how to do lives in a way that is right, that is better, that is God's promise. And I'm proud of my kids, and I'm proud of our youth. We have amazing kids, and we have amazing youth. And they're lovely. I love all of them. And that is what I'm holding on to, God's truth, instead of what the world say. So if you feel there's any things that you've heard that you partner with that almost become like a curse, or words that you have actually believed, say, God is, Holy Spirit is actually talking to you now, say, those are lies. You have to reject those lies. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you come now and minister to us, Lord God. Forgive those people who have spoken those words to you and repent of partnering and believing those words. Give those words to God. I renounce those words. I renounce the effect of those words over my life. And I release those words into God's hands. And now, Holy Spirit, come. Replace those lies with your truth. What is your truth, Lord God? What is your truth for my situation? What is your truth for my life and my family's lives, for my kids? What is your truth? Give us those truths, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are good. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord God, Jesus, you came to give life and life abundance. So Lord God, we come humbly before you. And we receive from you your truth. Speak to us, Lord God, continuously. Today, tonight, this week, even dreams, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you release dreams from heaven of your truth. Break through those walls and strongholds that we might have hold up and thinking those are the truth. And then we're holding onto it and thinking they're the truth. Lord God, break down those walls of lies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that in your kingdom we have freedom. In your kingdom we enjoy relationship with you. You are our inheritance. And we praise you, we thank you, Lord God. Breathe life into each one of us. Breathe truth into each one of our lives. Connect our spirit to your Holy Spirit, Lord God. That we are whole, spirit, soul, and body. And that is that's the blessing that we have. Root out all the lies that we believe, that we might have even spoken ourselves, not necessarily somebody spoke it, but we did it ourselves. Root out those lies, Lord God. Maybe even you, if you say that you have lots, maybe write it out. And then one side is the lies of the enemy, and write it out. What's the other side? What is God's truth? Start this journey. Start this journey of walking with God. What is God's truth? To going towards the promised land. Something has to die in the wilderness. Fear has to die in wilderness. Unbelief has to die in wilderness. Disobedience and rebellious spirit has to die in the wilderness. Jealousy and complaining, all of those things has to die in the wilderness. There's always something has to die in the wilderness. It doesn't have to be us. But a lot of the wrong mindsets, they must die in the wilderness for us to keep moving onto our promised land. So, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, release revelation, Lord God. Root out all of those things that has to die and release your truth. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, of your goodness and your love, that the promise, that your promise is for us and your goodness is for us. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank you, Lord God, your goodness and mercy will follow us. We praise you, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, our Lord, our God. Release your freedom into each one of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If anybody would like prayers, or I would say, if you really feel that you have a list, don't go home, listen to sermon, go home. Oh, great time in church. Really spend time working with the Holy Spirit and work on that list if there's anything. Don't just skim it off and thinking, oh, it'll be fine. Actually, one, I had a breakthrough last weekend. It's nothing to do with depression, but it could have. I don't know. In the LL weekend, the couple who was doing the teaching, they were in Hong Kong for many years as well. They're English. And they were just talking about amazing Chinese food and how much they love it. But they said something about, oh, make sure you pray before, when you, especially if you go to restaurants. A lot of the restaurants, they have kitchen gods with Chinese people in the restaurant, they do. And a lot of the time when they start a business, they always give their business and do the incense things and give it to God, their false god. And so they were talking about the importance of praying over our food before we eat, and gave us testimony of deliverance service of somebody who needed it. And then so it was all funny and lighthearted, and then the lady turned around and said, yeah, you have to always pray, you know, like make sure you pray in different places, especially Chinese food. And I was thinking, like, why? So I was feeling a bit, I wouldn't even say offended. That would be too strong of a word. I just didn't like it. And then it just really stayed with me of why do I feel like that? Because what they were saying was truth. It's true. And about praying before we eat, that's true too. I believe in a lot of that. Especially if food that has been offered to false god, and in our culture, they will offer food to the dead ancestors and offer food and drinks. And then the family, after they've done that and prayed to it, they will eat the food like a picnic. So whatever I was feeling uncomfortable, I didn't like it when I decided, okay, that's what I will use to go and pray, get prayers. So I went for the prayers, and at the same time feeling really stupid because it wasn't even anything. I felt it's just such a small thing. It wasn't like I was really demonic, angry and everything. Like I said, using the word offended was even too strong. But I went up and pray and went for prayers anyway. And then God just revealed all of these massive big things in my ancestors where they, you know, eating food has been offered. Even though I've never done it myself, but my ancestors has. So there's a almost generational curse within that. So I have to repent and I forgive. And then I felt this big release. And then it's almost like, wow. Because one of the things that they do, all of those things to the false gods, to our ancestors, was actually believing what they do with those things come with blessing. But also for me as descendant, it's our duty to do it. So it's the law that we have to do it. Even though I've never done it, I've never followed it, but because it's a generational curse. So when I actually prayed, it just broke whole of massive thing that I didn't even know that I had. And it will affect me how I worship the true God. Because I don't have that curse over myself anymore for my ancestors' practice. And that will bring blessing to Matthew and Jonathan for sure. So for such a small thing, I didn't think it was anything. I decided I'll have prayers. And God came through and reveals all the things that came with it. So praise God. So I do say, whatever God, Holy Spirit is showing to you, deal with it. Pray. Get freedom for it. Because the more freedom we get, the more we can actually love and worship God in such a pure way, wholeheartedly. Until I have this, no matter how much I praise God, if there is still something in my ancestors' line, it's almost they still have that control over me. So if God show it, if God doesn't show anything, that's fine. Praise God. Have a great day. Enjoy each other's company.